Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the guy who's probably going to need to use a chair in the shower real soon. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up over there this morning, so I hope you got yourself over there to check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, my free.
Oh, all right. Finally, Dan, finally, we get, you know, an agent finally gets off his ass and gets one of his players signed. So at least one of them is over. We get Manny Machado a little bit surprisingly to the Padres. 10 years, $300 million. Now, the deal doesn't become official until he passes a physical. They said that's going to be either tomorrow or Friday, and then they'll have the introductory press conference. You know, Dan, this is really interesting to me because even adding Machado, I still think the Padres are multiple years away from being a wild card contender, but you know, I've heard a lot of people say, like, I heard somebody predict that here there'll be a wild card team. Are you in on that?
No. The Central's too good this year. The East is pretty good. So, I mean, I don't see it.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, they're – you know, while it looks like they're going to have a pretty good lineup. I mean, you know, you're adding Machado to, your guy Will Myers, and then of course Eric Hosmer. You got to remember, we're probably not going to see Fernando Tatis Jr. for, you know, at least the first month of the season, whatever the deadline is, so they can push his arbitration back. So we'll get to deal with that, but you know, I think it's a good signing for them. I'll give them that, but you know, you and I have talked about this pitching before, and you know, here I'll throw the projected starting five at you again. They have Joey Lucchesi at number one, Robbie Erlin at number two, Brian Mitchell at three, Eric Lauer at four, and Luis Perdomo at five. Yeah.
That's all about the damage.
So, yeah, you know, and you know, they did sign your guy Garrett Richards, but of course he's going to miss the entire season due to Tommy John. So you know, he won't be able to help him until at least 2020 if, you know, he can stay healthy then, because let's face it, he hasn't been able to his entire career. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they might score a bunch of runs and not be able to hold teams.
Pretty much. I mean, isn't their bullpen even better?
Well, yeah, as of right now, their closer is Kirby Yates. So, you know, they did add the veteran lefty Aaron Loop towards the end of last week. But, yeah, you know, the other guy, they do have Craig Stammen, who's another veteran. He's a really solid setup guy. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's nobody on this pitching staff where you're going to go, oh, yeah, okay, that guy. And, you know, I mean, I know they've got, you know, these huge prospects. Chris, I believe it's pronounced Paddock, you know, and Logan Allen are the top two pitchers. But they're both probably going to have to go through a year in AAA. You know, I know everybody loves Mackenzie Gore, but he's only going to be at, you know, if he's lucky, he'll finish the year at double A. So he's multiple years away. I mean, you know, I mean, their prospects are a long, long way away. So I don't know. You know, it's great to have them, but I guess maybe they could deal some. You know, like I heard somebody, one of the predictions said today that they think they'll go out and get Blake Snell and use some of those prospects to do that, which could be pretty interesting then. But I don't know. I mean, Snell's a guy coming off a Cy Young year with a boatload of control. You know, Tampa held on to Archer for a long time. Do you see them? I mean, unless they're blown away with a prospect deal, you see them moving Snell?
No, I think they've got to be blown away. That's their only guy.
Yeah. So... you know, and here's what the everyday lineup projects to now, Dan. Remember, they signed Ian Kinsler. He looks like the leadoff guy at second. Of course, Machado hits in the second position because that's where you put your best hitter now. Hosmer third, Myers fourth. Then it's Hunter Renfro in the fifth spot. They have Frenchie Cordero sixth, even though I think Manuel Margot will probably win that job. Luis Urias is going to start the year at shortstop. He's really a second baseman, and he'll move over once he finally gets called up. And then Austin Hedges will probably split catching duties with Francisco Mejia, depending on, you know, how it kind of works out. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, they list Hedges as the starter because he has a little more experience. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, 1-4, they're a solid, some may say even very good order, with Kinsler, Machado, Hosmer, and Myers. But after that, Dan, there's a big old drop-off. So I don't know if I'm buying all the hype here.
Maybe they should have signed Chassin instead of letting the Brewers do it.
Well, they should have signed Dallas Keuchel, who's still out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean... I just, you know, I was kind of like, I think you need, you know, you need a veteran ace here. Because, I mean, in reality, you don't have an ace. You know, I guess you're hoping one of these guys develops into one. But, I don't know. It's a bigger story here because the only other real offer Machado had was from the White Sox. You know, and I know they actually upped their offer. You know, I know they jumped, I think it was 8 years at 250, and then they offered two option years. But, you know, in the end, he chose to go with the Padres. But we'll see. Well, here's some of the stats from last year, Dan. Now, you know, they list Lucchesi as the number one. He made 26 starts last year. He was 8-9 with a 4.08 ERA. Erlen is the number two guy. He made 12 starts, but he pitched in 39 games. 4-7 with a 4.21 ERA. All right. Then we have Brian Mitchell, who's the three. He pitched in 16 games, 11 starts. 2-4 with a 5.42 ERA. Let me find Eric Lauer. Here you go. He made 23 starts, 6-7, with a 4.34 ERA. And we rounded up with Perdomo. Where is he? Here he is. 12 games, 10 starts, 1-6, with a 7.05 ERA. That's the projected Padres rotation according to Roster Resource.
Now, regardless of the Manny Machado signing, and I know you haven't done much research or put a whole lot into our fantasy draft, and I know fantasy isn't real, but were any of the Padre pitchers even remotely on your radar?
No.
Even at this point?
No. You know, obviously, yeah, you know, obviously the only guy who would pop up would be Yates because closers get saves regardless. You know, I mean, even the worst closer now gets, you know, what, 25, 30 saves with the way the bullpens are managed. So he was the only guy that I was even considering. You know, and I, you know, obviously I know the records don't mean much now because win and losses nobody cares about. But, you know, we're looking at guys with monstrous ERAs in, you know, in a pretty pitcher-friendly ballpark. You know, I mean, I know they have configured, I forgot what Padres, what the Padres Stadium is called now, but they have configured it to make it a little more hitter-friendly, but it's still not, you know, it's not the easiest place to hit, or not the easiest place, yeah, not the easiest place to hit. And, yeah, yet these guys have, all have monstrous 4-plus ERAs, and, you know, in Perdomo's case, it's over 7. So...
Petco Park.
Thank you. So, I couldn't remember. You know, and then Yates, who's going to close, did pick up 12 saves after Brad Hand was moved along. He appeared in 65 games. He was pretty good. 2.14 ERA. Did go 5-3. Stammen, like I mentioned, is a really good setup guy. He was 8-3 with a 2.73 ERA last year. So, you know, so it looks like they might be able to pair up that part of the bullpen. Of course, you know, bullpens are so hit or miss. I mean, you know, I mean, we, you know, we've seen guys go from 40 saves to 20 saves and, you know, set up guys going from, you know, 50 holds to 15 holds. So, you know, you just never really know. But, yeah, that's, you know, that's what we're, you know, that's what we're looking at. I mean, I, you know, I think it's a good signing for them, but I don't think, you know, I mean, I'm actually, depending obviously on how these prospects work out, you know, do they make the playoffs in his 10-year career as a Padre?
Maybe once.
So... You know, and I mean, obviously, I know, you know, everybody's excited, and I'm actually just glad that, you know, one of these guys is finally off the market, and hopefully we can get the other guy signed really soon, and, you know, we could be done with this BS and actually get on to the actual baseball, which I believe actually spring training games start Friday. So do you have Bryce Harper being in a camp by Friday?
Yeah, I have him down in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I know you and I all along have been saying he's going back to Washington. I think you and I may be the only two guys on there. Now, what I'm wondering now is, now that Machado got $300 or $300 million, I should say, does Boris hold out to get Harper more?
$350.
Yeah, does he have to beat Stanton's contract? Does he have to beat that 325?
Oh, yeah. And if he gets it for 10 years, that's even, you know, a bigger win.
So, you know, because, yeah, you know, Machado's was the, I think it was the second biggest deal behind Stanton's in total value. Obviously, Greinke makes more a year than either of them. I think he actually makes $34 million this year. You know, he'll be the highest paid player, which is probably part of the reason he's still in a Diamondback uniform. Otherwise, they may have moved him. But yeah, I you know, like I said, I wasn't buying the, you know, all the hype, and I was shocked when I saw guys saying, oh yeah, well, you know, this will get him in as a wild card team next year. Like, will it? How many runs are they going to score a game? You know, like, whoa, what, you know, what the hell are we talking about here? So, yeah, that was me. I was excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely happy to finally get this over with. We got one more to go.
Yeah, and then, you know, the reports are now that You know, reading here on our good old favorite website, MLB Trade Rumors, apparently the White Sox are out now on Bryce Harper. So, you know, it looks like they're done, but it appears the Giants are still trying to stay in the hunt there. And oddly, this says there are conflicting indications on where the Padres might be. So, you know, just depending on who you write, this is Bob Nightingale. I don't know how accurate he is, you know, compared to some of the other guys. You and I have been firm believers all along that he's going back to Washington. I believe, are they the only one that you've heard has made him a firm offer? Because I don't remember hearing any other offers for Bryce Harper except that the 10-year 300 from Washington.
Well, you're not supposed to, remember? Part of the CBA.
Yeah. You know these come out.
Yeah, but I mean, you do see like the difference between MVP with what they were dealing with and then with Scott Morris's agency. You know, nothing really comes out aside from the offer from the home team.
Yeah, well, you know, Boris likes to, you know, release these things just to try to up the market. You know, he'll throw out a mystery team or something like that to, you know, try to get, you know, that normally when he's talking about stuff like that, that to me that means there aren't a lot of teams in the bidding. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you can throw out mystery team here, mystery team there, but you can't, you know, throw out numbers.
Yeah. But, yeah, so just, you know, sign the damn deal, Harper. Go back to Washington. Get yourself into camp, you know, and or, you know, take the shorter-term deal the Giants offered and go back on the free agent market in a few years. So, you know, go that way. I thought it was humorous. I know you and I had, in fantasy baseball, we spent some time dealing with Jed Weaver when he was still playing with the Angels. And then I forgot where he bounced around at, but he had a humorous tweet saying if Manny Machado was worth $300 million over 10 years, Mike Trout must be going to get $1 billion when he hits the free agent market in 2 years. Well, we've got the market set at Trout already, Dan. It's $1 billion a year for Mike Trout. So who's signing him? Is he going to Philly in 2 years?
Yeah, a lifetime contract.
Yeah, for $1 billion a season? So lock him up. But yeah, we did. We had a couple other signings while Dan and I were gone. Just today, Josh Harrison finally got a job. Didn't end up anywhere close to where I thought he was going to end up. He's going to Detroit for a year. What does it say here? I don't think he does it. He gives a number. I don't even think he gives a number. Yeah, oddly, you know, Detroit earlier signed Jordy Mercer. You know, they played together in Pittsburgh. So they're back together looking like they're going to be the middle of the Tigers infield again, just moving it, you know, to Detroit from Pittsburgh. So, you know, Harrison finally gets a job. But, yeah, this is not where I was expecting him to go, Dan. Did you have him landing anywhere close to Detroit?
No, I didn't figure they would do anything.
I mean, I guess technically I did have him landing close to Detroit because I honestly thought he was going to sign with Milwaukee. But, you know, Milwaukee yesterday inked Mike Moustakas to a one-year deal with an option. And now this year it appears, Dan, instead of bumping Travis Shaw to second base, it's going to be Moustakas who has to make that move. So, yeah, I figure, I don't know, 35 errors maybe, if he can get to that many balls as a second baseman. So
36.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just can't, not a great defender. You know, he's a great defender at third base. I don't think he's going to be a great defender at second base, but, you know, he'll add a little pop to their lineup. Again, you know, like I said, I guess I got to stop talking about the Brewers because I got yelled at by Mr. Fantasy yesterday because, you know, I've been saying it here. I'm not buying it. You know, I'm not buying that they can repeat their success from last year. You know, but everybody seems to be on board, and I guess I'm just kind of the guy on the outside looking in. But, you know, to be honest, if they're not careful and that bullpen blows out, they're going to end up in fourth place behind the Reds in the Central. So, but, you know, maybe that's just me, right, Dan?
But yeah, because apparently even Cub fans are like, oh, no, the Brewers are going to be great.
So, yeah, I've been hearing it from Stu all winter about how good the Brewers are going to be. And, you know, again, I don't understand it. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be a bad team or they're going to be below 500 or anything like that, but I don't see them being what was it, 98 last year? Was that what they ended up with? Was it 97, 98 or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't see them being anywhere close to that. You know, I mean, maybe they get to 90, but I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up at 86 or 87 in that area. That's where I'm at, and apparently I'm the only guy there. So, welcome to my island.
Yeah, but what algorithm are you using?
I have this thing where I count on my fingers, and if it goes over 10, I take my shoes off. Mm-hmm. So, and then I work that one, then I work backwards from that one. So, I am missing part of a fingertip now since I had that mandolin accident. So it is a little off this year, but I think I'll be okay. It's just the one side, and it just makes my finger shaved a little funny. I didn't lose, like, any length or anything. So it's my ring finger, Dan, so I guess I just – it's my ring finger on my right. I guess I just get married. So – but yeah, you convinced me, I think you're closer to, you're about the only one I think who's close to my side than anybody else. So tell me what I'm missing. Can you?
Julius Chassin.
Yeah, but he's going to pitch what, 4 or 5 innings a game?
Yeah. No, I'm trying to figure it out, too. And, you know, like you said, I don't think they're going to be a crap team. But they have to claw and fight. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but, you know, it's not like the year where the Cubs, Cardinals, and Pirates were all, you know, like, what, 2 games apart? And they were just tearing it up all season. I mean, the Brewers took advantage of failing Cubs directed, you know, managed team, and we're able to squeeze in. I don't think they have the celerity to stay there. I think Christian Yelich had a great year last year, but, you know, is he going to continue that success? I think he can, but I thought his numbers would be even better last year. And same with Lorenzo Cain. I think that part of the issue is Lorenzo Cain wasn't as hot as I thought he would have been. And then not only that, you take your entire infield that got the boost when Moustakas came in. But, you know, aside from that, first, second, and short, you know, even though I like Garcia, he's been, you know, highly offensive. They have a great bullpen, but like you said, after what we saw at the end of the season, you know, how are they going to be able to perform 3-4 innings a night for 150 games?
Yeah, well, you know, and it's weird because people seem to forget, you know, Canoe got hurt last year, And it got to the point towards the end of the season where Hader couldn't pitch on back-to-back days. All right, if you, you know, if they run into one in bullpen injury, or God forbid, imagine if they were to get 10-2. What happens to that team?
You know, and who's to say, you know, just like with the Cubs, you know, is, you know, I heard theories that you, Darvish, is on every other year thing. But, you know, who's to say with Jimmy Nelson, if he comes back, you know, what level is he going to be able to perform at?
Yeah, I, you know, again, I, you know, I mean, I, you know, I look at the day-to-day lineups and, you know, obviously Yelich is on his way to, I believe, being a great player. You know, I have no doubt with that whatsoever. Kane has been a very good player for a long time now. Ryan Braun is on the downside of his career. I mean, I'm sorry, he's 35, going to be 36. So, you know, those numbers are going to start to go the other way. You know, Jesus Aguilar had a career year last year. Is, you know, now we got to find out if he's that player, you know, or if he's a little below that. You know, I mean, you mentioned Arcia, he struggles with major league pitching. You know, like I think I told Mr. Fantasy, you got to remember that at one point, he was sent to AAA, and Tyler Saldino was the Brewers' everyday shortstop until he got hurt. All right, think about that. They were going with Tyler Saldino. So, you know, obviously, you know, Travis Shaw and Moustakas are going to hit home runs. They're probably both 30-plus homer guys. You add Grandal into that, he's probably going to be another 30-plus homer guy. You know, they're going to have great power. But I, you know, and I mean, I know that's how today's game is shaped. You want everybody to hit their home runs, and they're going to do that. But, man, I, you know, okay, Moustakas is your everyday second base. That's frightening. Do you have to take him out? Dan, I mean, if you're the manager, do you take him out late in for defensive purposes?
Yep. You have to.
You know, and the fun thing is, I think Moustakas is a better defensive third baseman than Travis Shaw. So they're actually going to go with the weaker defender at third base. But, you know, obviously, it's their decision. Okay, you know, that's where it's going to go. So, I don't know. And then, you know, I mean, well, you know, we don't know what the heck they're going to do with Eric Thames. You know, who started off pretty good, but like he dealt with his injury issues, and we know they've been baseball back, and that's why they're trying to lock everybody down. I get it. Still a couple years ahead, guys. They want to wish he's there, or maybe you do. Like you said, I don't think they're gonna start. You know, like you stand here and tell me that you thought the Cubs or the Cardinals would win the division, and then whichever team was a wild card for the Brewers, I could buy that. You could also sell me the same thing in the NL East with about four teams. So, you know, I can see that. I think the National League is super competitive, and literally every game is going to be interesting. And if the Cubs don't have their heads out of their rear end and they play like they did last year, yeah, we're going to be looking at being out of the playoffs in 2020. So there you go.
Well, and I forgot the point I was going to make. Well, okay, now I remember. That was real quick. Big recovery. The thing I always find interesting though is when when the media and everyone gets behind a certain team and, you know, how great they did in the offseason. And, you know, I mean, I would love for Cubs heads to, you know, put together a standings for offseason. You know, divided by Central, East, West, or just do National American, who cares? But the teams that always, quote-unquote, do the best in the offseason never seem to live up to their regular season potential. You know, and while I love to look at things on paper, I mean, does it always add up? Sure, add up. Does it always transition? You know, in 2011, I went down to KC to watch the Cubs play. And, you know, another guy I was talking to, a guy who, you know, enjoyed baseball, you know, I went over the entire lineup with him. You know, Lorenzo Cain was one of them. But, you know, majority of that lineup in 2011 was the, you know, the 2015 World Series champion, minus Jeff Francoeur. George Brett. Oh, you lost me there, didn't you?
No, no, I heard you.
But, you know, the 2011 Royals, everyone on paper I liked. You know, I just thought, I told him, I'm like, oh, we're going to see a pretty good team. And I listed off everybody. You think that's a good team? I'm like, well, you know, I don't. I'm like, I've seen them all play, you know, watched on TV and, you know, the whole nine. It's my first time going down to KC. So they, you know, they were solid performers. And, you know, to me, it was like, yeah, they were great on paper, but when it came down to it, you know, that team wasn't winning World Series then. It did take a couple of years for all those guys to develop. But, again, you know, a team that's great on paper, you know, we've seen the struggles that they had in the postseason with the Brewers. And, yes, I forgot that Grandal was there, and, you know, what does that give them now? You know, the most depth at the catching position in any team in Major League Baseball. They've got, what, 10 or 15 catchers that we all know about in their system. But,
yeah.
You know, I felt like he didn't really live up to his potential either. And just, you know, with all the money being thrown around today and where his free agency landed, it's pretty much the only reason he got the money. Who was the other catchers out there? He wasn't really competing anyone with anyone against other than himself. You know, and I think the Dodgers, obviously, they could have had the money to pay him, but they chose not to. And you've got to wonder why they didn't go that route.
Yeah, you do kind of wonder, you know, why didn't L.A. bring him back?
You know, and like you said, they should be hitting bombs out of there, but you know, I'm trying to think. Miller Park, one of the, you know, really a batter hitter stadium. I mean, not since Prince Fielder's been there. I don't think you've really got guys that are known for hitting home runs that aren't Prince Fielder or having some assistance from a doctor in Miami.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, you know, I think they did. You know, they did okay last year. You know, I think Yelich had set a career high, and I, you know, honestly, I mean, as tough as it's going to be for the other teams in Central, I think he's just going to get better. But you know,
yeah.
Aguilar hit 35, Shaw hit 32, so you know, they did have some guys get there. And you know, Thames hit 16 in limited action because he was hurt so freaking much.
Well, there's
yeah,
another
you know,
guy. I mean, you know. He came back, you know, he came back to the States and, you know, he's got his own theme song. And I think everyone included, I included, you know, oh, hey, we're excited to see this guy. And I don't think he played when I was up there. I think he was injured. So, you know, how long is he going to last? And essentially why, you know, they had to pick up Moustakas, which I don't think was a bad signing at all. But if you're going to take him and move him over to second base, I just think you're trying too hard to be the smartest guy in the room, and it's going to explode. And by the All-Star break, he's going to be back at third base. And I don't know if it was your blog or something else I read today. Was it Travis Shaw had about 30-some-odd games at second base last year? Well, if he's already did it, why not roll into the right, you know, roll into spring training with him starting at second? I don't know why you would take a guy like Moose and move him over like that.
Yeah, Shaw had 39 games last year, second with 36 being starts.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot better than Jason Kipnis and his center field outfield starts, right?
Well, you know, I don't think Shaw had ever played second base probably since Little League. At least Kipnis played center field in college. So.
Yeah. Yeah, what, total of 10 games did we discover?
Yeah.
It was 8 or 10.
Well, you know, I think that was the minors he played like.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, in the same token, Shaw already played second. You know, he's got to have a feel for it. But, you know, like you mentioned, you've got two third basemen. You know, how deep is the range and how many errors are combined if they're both playing second? Are they going to come up for? You know, how many missed opportunities on ground balls up the middle are we going to see? How many missed double play turns are we going to miss? Or is that part of the game that doesn't matter anymore, right? Because guys don't single anymore. They just double and home run.
I'm like you. I'm wondering myself, you know, how this works out. But, you know, apparently I'm, you know, the wrong guy.
Yeah, and even with the Cardinals, I think, you know, the Cardinals, no matter who the hell they have on their team, they're always going to compete. They're always going to find a way. Last year didn't seem to work out. But I don't think the Paul Goldschmidt signing just bumps them up that much. And, you know, and that's the thing that killed me, because when I was talking to someone today, you know, while, you know, I'm like, I still don't buy the Pecota setting predictions where they've knocked the Cubs down to last place. Well, you know, the pitching, the bullpen. How is the Cubs pitching any different than the other four teams in the division?
Are you going to tell me that the Cubs starters are worse than the Brewers starters?
No, you know, that's what's killing me. It's like you guys just gave up, you know, even Chicago fans, you just gave up on your team because they didn't win the World Series, you know, for the last 3 years. And fell out of the playoffs last year. And, you know, part of that's management. Hence why Joe Maddon didn't get an extension this year. Nobody, the writing's on the wall. The white elephant is in the room. Sorry, go ahead. There we go. But you know what I mean? What, like you said, starting pitching, bullpen. None of these teams, except for maybe the Reds, have this really great closer. I had to take my break, so, you know, what are your thoughts on the comparison between the NL Central teams, you know, with their pitching? Who's really that much better?
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of humorous when, you know, you start talking about it is, you know, I really think 1 through 5, the Cubs probably have the best starting rotation in the division. Okay, now when you get into the bullpen, obviously it's a different story. You know, Milwaukee is gonna run away with that in a big way. You know, and I would probably give the Cardinals bullpen an edge over the Cubs bullpen. But you know, you have to remember, you know, the Cardinals just announced now that Carlos Martinez is gonna be, you know, he's not gonna throw for 2 weeks. All right, now they were talking about moving him to the bullpen anyways, which I thought would have been really stupid. You know, the only reason he moved to the bullpen last year was because of injuries. Maybe that wasn't as dumb as an idea as I thought, because he seems to be having some injury issues again already. And I don't know, what did they say? Did they give a definition of what they? All it says is there's no concern for structural damage. Let me hunt down a link here and see if they give us any more information. It just says 2 weeks, and yeah, they don't really give a reason. It almost just looks like they want to rest him this early in spring training. You know, they're going to keep him on his strengthening program. And the way it seems, as long as there's no complications, they think he's going to be able to jump right back into action. So, you know, maybe it's just precautionary on their part. I mean, we'll have to see. But obviously, he would be a monster loss for them. He's easily their best pitcher, even though Miles Mikolas did have a fantastic year for them last year. I don't think you could tell me that Martinez isn't their best pitcher. I don't think anybody would believe that. So, yeah, you know, you look at that. And, you know, obviously, you know, the Reds have improved their starting pitching with the three guys they added. You know, Alex Wood, Tanner Roark, and who am I forgetting? Alex Wood, Tanner Roark, and come on, why am I drawing a blank here now on who the Reds picked up? That's embarrassing because I know we've talked about them before. Who? Alex Wood, Tanner Roark, and God, I'm gonna feel stupid here, aren't I? So, Alex Wood, Tanner Roark, Sonny Gray. Duh, God, I'm an idiot. So, yeah, you know, it takes me a little while sometimes to get it all together there before I can figure things out. So, yeah, you know, I think they're going to be improved, but, you know, they're not improved enough to win the division. I don't even know if they're improved enough to get to 500. But everybody seems to think they are. So we'll see how this goes. But there's a lot of hype in the NL Central, and it's going to be a good division. I don't know if it's going to be the best division because, man, the NL East, obviously with the exception of the Marlins, looks like it's going to be, you know, really, really good. So we'll have to kind of see how that goes, but I don't understand too much or all of the excitement going around. Everybody seems to be on the Brewer bandwagon and off the Cub bandwagon. I mean, I'm surprised just how many flat-out, more or less, Cub haters there are. And I get it in Chicago with the White Sox fans. Like, Mr. Fantasy's a White Sox fan, so he was screaming at me yesterday about some stuff. But, that's expected from him because, like I said, he's a White Sox fan. Schomburg's dude didn't understand why they didn't sign Bryce Harper. Well, you know, Dan and I have been over this a million times. There's really not a need or not a spot to spend that kind of money unless you were able to find somebody to take the Jason Hayward contract. So, I don't get a lot of the freaking out. I think a lot of it is weird fandom. And, the funny thing is you damn well know if the Cubs start to win, all these people are going to be back on the bandwagon talking about how, oh, yeah, they knew it all along. The Cubs were going to be this good, and, they're going to be this or they're going to be that. So, we'll see. But, it's going to be interesting, and, we're going to get things rolling really soon. So, yeah. You got to be ready to roll.
Well, not only that, I mean, you go and sign Bryce Harper, and then how upset are Cub fans in, what year is this, in two years, maybe three, when you, I don't think Chris Bryant's staying here, but, Rizzo, Baez, everyone's ready to just pack and move Addison Russell out of town. But any of the young stars that they have, Schwarber, you sign Harper for $300 billion. Then what happens when those guys all come up at the same time? And that's one of the things we haven't been able to talk about. And I don't know if you've seen it, but was it last week, Thursday or Friday, or Monday? I was watching local NBC Sports Talk Live. Kelly Kroll was on there. She's being interviewed by somebody, and some other guy was there. And they were talking about the Addison Russell press conference and how he was coached. And maybe because their affiliation with the Cubs, they can't really say what the truth was. His little thing was totally scripted. I don't know if you caught it, but the whole taking the classes, and you know, everyone's better for it, and you know, the kids are better. The you know, blah blah blah. I care about Melissa, or forgot how you say her name because David Kaplan really says it really awesomely funny. But you know, they're going back and forth, and everything he said. I was looking for a teleprompter. You know, I was looking for that reflection in his eyes for a teleprompter. So I wasn't sure if, you know, because Theo was in the back, I suppose, I was told. And I guess, I don't know if the Ricketts were, but, you know, Theo, Jed, and I think Madden. So I don't know if the three of them, you know, were sitting there mouthing what he's supposed to say, you know, lipping, kind of like, you know, you would do for your little kid at their first ever stand-up performance for, you know, their group project or some kind of crap like that. But it was completely scripted. I saw absolutely no emotion, nothing. So I could see where a lot of people would be upset with them because, I mean, you mean you guys, you didn't trust your player enough to let him just go out there and say, hey, and I don't care if it's, you know, regular TV or not, just a swear or not, hey, I effed up. You know, I mean, and they, Kelly Kroll and the other guy were like, well, you know, Kelly's starting to drive me nuts with her. Well, in my 6 years covering the Cubs, yeah, okay, we got it. You've been there for 6 years. You don't have to say it every time you're freaking on TV. You know, Addison hasn't really shown a whole lot of emotion in anything, any conference he's done or, you know, any kind of stuff like that. So they kind of, they give him the benefit of the doubt. But I also believe that she and some of the others that cover him, cover the sport and the Cubs in general, they know these players a lot more in depth than we do. So I think they may have, you know, give a little bit more benefit of doubt than, you know, the layman would. But, you know, I wanted to kind of get your take on it, where you saw that and his whole scripted speech.
Yeah, you know, I didn't see it, but I, you know, I mean, you can go back. Every one of these things we've ever seen has been scripted like that. Some guys are just better at it than other guys, you know. I mean, you know, remember Lance Armstrong, the Ryan Braun apology, and the, you go back to the Jason Giambi one. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, he made Ryan Braun look like a, you know, I don't know the word, believable Santa Claus. I don't know what you want to call it. But, I mean, he made Ryan Braun's speech look, you know, super believable.
So, yeah, you know, like I said, I didn't see it. But, yeah, it you know, it doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, it was completely written down for him or he had to memorize it. And, you know, whatever he had to do. And, you know, is he truly sorry? Well, who knows? You know, maybe he is. You know, I don't know. So...
I don't know. I mean, but I guess from my take on it is, you know, I've been saying from the beginning, you know, the Cubs were always, oh, we back our players, we back, maybe not so much the Cubs as much as it's Theo and Jed, more so Theo. We back our players, we believe in them, we look for guys that are just not, you know, great players, but good guys in the clubhouse and in humanity, blah, blah, blah. And then they kind of backtracked on it, and then they came back towards it when they realized they're not going to get anything. They try to trade him because, you know, a situation like that happens and then you're immediately trying to trade a guy. Well, everyone knows you're essentially desperate to move a guy. So we'll give you, a Mickey Mantle signed rookie card and a bag of balls. You know, you're not going to get anything when you're desperate to move a guy. So they had to come back with it and try to, you know, resituate themselves. And I don't know. I think they just did a horrible PR job with this whole situation. Not just Russell, but, you know, the organization as a whole. You know, and then you had on top of that Ricketts and his, you know, his dad's alleged racist emails and the fact that, I've never heard my daddy say anything like that. Now, you sound just as unbelievable as Addison Russell did. I mean, I don't think we're seeing a fall of this team, but we're really seeing them make some dumbass mistakes publicly. I mean, do you see it any other way?
No, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the Ricketts are going to cover for their father. It's not like they're going to say, oh, yeah, he's a racist. You know, so, but, yeah, I think, personally, he probably would have just better keeping his mouth shut. But, you know, that's kind of how, you know, kind of how it goes, you know.
The only thing that could have made it even more worse is if he came out and said, my dad's not racist. Some of his best employees were blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
So. You know, just one of those things. You know, I mean, we've all done that where, you know, we've talked in a situation where we probably would have been better off keeping our mouths shut.
Yeah.
You know, and that was definitely the situation there. You know, I mean, I do wonder, I'm a little surprised that this didn't end up being a bigger deal. I'm surprised that, you know, it's kind of went away rather quickly.
Yeah, well, and they're lucky, you know, with the announcement of the big TV deal with, you know, Sinclair Media, which is progressively conservative and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that was one of the things that killed me more so, where these people are like, oh, what kind of program? They're going to have sports programming, you dumbasses.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how you could have put together a political agenda with the sports station. Well, I mean, kind of with, you know, ESPN and the way they do their things, but, you know, it's not like there'll be Cubs games and vote for Trump ads. I don't, I just, oh, don't worry, it's not going to be political. Well, no, it shouldn't be. It's a freaking sports station. I didn't get the whole scare about that. I mean, I think what fans and everyone should be more worried about the fact that what are we going to have to pay to watch this?
Yeah. You know, what are we going to pay and am I going to be able to get it? So.
Yeah. You know, are we completely blacked out or, you know, what's going on? And at first when they threw out the name and, you know, Marquee Sports Network, it sounded kind of, and then I forget who it was. They kind of broke it down and, like, well, you know, the Cubs, the Marquee, they're like, yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I think it's hard enough to really, would you say to really put out a name in this day and age that's like super impactful?
No,
you know I don't know.
In reality, who cares, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you're going to be the Cubs Network. You know,
yeah. They
say there's going to be more Cubs-centric programming. You've got to wonder. Because, you know, for you and I, when we watch the MLB TV, you know, we get the game on Yes Network. And I really haven't ever watched after the game. I don't know if you really get post-game shows. But, you know, I know they do some, you know, player stuff, you know, interviews or like, you know, what would you call them? Like a 30 for 30 almost. Players and whatnot, but, you know, what other programming does the Yes Network really carry? I guess we'd have to get some Yankee fans out here, right?
Actually, there's, you know, they're on my my system, but, yeah, I don't remember what else they do, you know, because Stu and I talked a little bit about this on Friday, and we were wondering what else they were going to run. So.
Yeah. I mean, the Real Housewives of Cubs.
Yeah, that would if they did that. Draw more fans than the Cubs game. So,
you know, and I mean, I know it's
all
about ratings, so I doubt we'll get any much of the minor league games, especially now that Eloy Jimenez plays for the White Sox.
Yeah.
As there were many Charlotte games on our local channel here. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. But, you know, I think that was the biggest question, which I know they can't give out because they really haven't put it all together yet. You know, for me, I'm just hoping that it's an extra, that if I add it on to my Comcast, that I will get the MLB Network and the NHL and NBA. That way I'm not just paying for one thing specifically. You know, is it going to be an HBO? Because you better. You better have some damn good programming.
Yeah. You know, that's.
Otherwise, we'll be listening
to
the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, Pat Hughes, here I come. So.
Yeah. Stu will be like a kid again then.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be like a flashback for him. So, you know, that'll, but yeah, I don't know. So.
I don't know, but I am happy, though, that one half of the biggest free agents is off the market now. And hopefully Harper is done by Friday.
Yeah. You know, just get this done and let's get going. It's going to play baseball, not, you know, jerk around. I mean, we still have, you know, Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrel sitting out there. So, you know, it's not like we don't have, you know, anything. But who knows? Maybe they'll come in. You know, now that this has happened, you know, you figure teams will look and be like, oh, yeah, okay, we get this, let's go this route. So.
But I will have you know, Big Jack, Rendon tweeted or interviewed out there that Scott Boras works for them and not the other way around. So remember that when Mike Moustakas holds out again next year, not Boras telling him he should.
Okay. So, you know.
I mean,
Moustakas lied to us anyways. He said he wasn't going to sign until Machado signed.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, now
I think
he
got nervous.
Believe him.
Yeah, well, I think he got nervous. Oh, I got to be somewhere next week. Where am I going to go? Back to Milwaukee.
So, yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, I don't – well, you know, I mean, obviously Boras works for them, but, you know, he's just – you know, he's that hot girl in high school who just played games with people and never dated anybody. you know, that's all. He's just, you know, he's a game player. And, you know, I mean, for a lot of his minor clients, you know, stuff is blowing up in their face. Remember, Kendry Morales got rid of him after it cost him half a season.
Yeah.
So, you know, just one of those, one of those fun things. So, you know, it was kind of like, you know, the other sport I realized yesterday when, you know, they got all this Antonio Brown BS going on. I should have realized long ago the problem was he's represented by Drew Rosenhaus. I didn't even realize Drew Rosenhaus still had clients.
I don't even know who that is. Is that the Scott Boras of the NFL?
When T.O. did the sit-up, Rosenhaus was his agent. That really kind of made him famous.
Oh.
You know, it was the big thing, and he represented T.O. and, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, he just kind of resoundly hated. So... But, yeah, I was kind of like, well, here we go. I mean, that's basically, he's basically Scott Boras of the NFL. You know, is how you could look at it. But all right, time for going on. We'll come back tomorrow for the Sunday and we'll have a sports book. I'm going to wait for a while to go on sportsradio.com. Check out the new blog on the screen. Get a link over to Facebook. You've got a like, but don't forget to put it in the app for the Facebook.
Sportsradio.com.